Good morning and welcome to Focus on Health, the weekly radio program where we talk about all the great things happening at Van Deese Medical Center. I am your host, Lori Foster, and joining us today is orthopedic spine specialist Dr. Brett Rosenthal with Iowa Ortho. Before we get started into our program, I have a few announcements that I'd like to share. Tomorrow is Halloween. We hope you will don your costumes and come down to the downtown trick-or-treat in downtown Webster City. We have staff members that will be dressed in costume and will be participating, handing out treats to the youngsters. It's tomorrow from 3:30 to 5:30 downtown Webster City, and we hope to see you there. Also, coming up this weekend, for the past 8 years, Baumgars has held a ladies' night in the fall. During this one evening of their ladies' night, they donate 5% of their total sales to hospitals, cancer centers, women's organizations in the communities they serve. The first year they did this, they donated over $18,000 to 21 locations participating. Last year, they donated just over $161,000 to 180 locations. Van Deese Medical Center is very fortunate to have been designated as their recipient to receive 5% of this year's sales from their Ladies' Night to be held at the Webster City store. So, what we ask is for you to come shopping. The 2024 Baumgars Ladies' Night is set for Sunday, this Sunday, November 3rd, from 5 to 8 p.m. in all of their locations. Here in the Webster City store, we'll have a table at the front, information promoting our mammography, our oncology, colonoscopy, and women's healthcare services. We'll have some free giveaways and prize drawings as part of the promotion for the event. Baumgars will be offering discounts throughout the store for ladies with giveaways and refreshments as well. So again, plan to join us this Sunday, November 3rd from 5 to 8 in the Webster City Baumgars store. I have shared on previous programs, but I do want to mention once again, we have welcomed our friends from Mercy One Iowa Heart. They began seeing patients in their new location at Van Deese Medical Center last week. The office hours for the cardiology clinic are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Patients can schedule appointments or contact their office by calling their number 515-574-8700. In addition to cardiac-related consults and their follow-up appointments, Mercy One Iowa Heart is offering echocardiograms, EP device checks, nuclear cardiac stress tests, and their nuclear camera is on site for nuclear cardiology imaging as well. We do encourage patients to utilize our emergency department entrance to access the registration desk. They're actually located by our outpatient waiting area, so it's just a little closer to park over by the emergency entrance. We do have greeters around to offer assistance with wayfinding, and we've had a lot of patients that have utilized our main entrance as well, and we've got some signage, and like I said, our volunteer greeters are available to assist. And then lastly, really important, I do want to mention and remind Iowa Medicare beneficiaries that we are in the open enrollment period from October 15th to December 7th. It's very important for Medicare beneficiaries to remember that prescription drug plans and Medicare Advantage plans change each year. So evaluating your options can help you find better coverage and can possibly save you money. Medicare beneficiaries have received information about any plan changes already in the mail. Most of the beneficiaries would have received an annual notice of change in September from your prescription drug plan or your Medicare Advantage plan. This is a summary of any changes in the plan's cost, coverage, and service area that will take effect on January 1st of next year. other Medicare beneficiaries could receive information that their plan may not be renewed for the next year, and they will need to find a new plan during the open enrollment period. It is critical to ensure that all mail from your plan is read to stay informed about possible changes. There are a number of changes for Medicare beneficiaries to be aware of occurring next year in 2025 that are a result of the adoption of the Inflation Reduction Act from 2022. This includes a $2,000 cap on out-of-pocket drug spending, as well as the implementation of the Medicare Prescription Payment Plan. We are very fortunate at our hospital to have three well-trained volunteer SHIP counselors to help you review your Medicare plan. We encourage you to complete your paperwork, return it to our hospital. If you have a question, you can call their phone number. It is 515-832-7769. Leave your name and a phone number, and one of the counselors will return your call. They are reviewing plans daily and will be getting back in touch with those that have submitted their paperwork. Again, the Medicare open enrollment period does go through December 7th. All right. Now we're ready to start into our program, talk with our guest. As I mentioned, I'm very pleased to have orthopedic spine specialist Dr. Brett Rosenthal with us today. Again, good morning to you, Dr. Rosenthal. Good morning.
Thank you for having me here.
Thanks for being here. You have been providing services in our specialty clinic department for approximately 6 months now.
Yeah.
How's that going for you?
It's going well. Time flies.
It does fly.
Yeah. Everything's been going well out here. It's been nice to do some outreach in a different direction. I'm based in Des Moines area with mm-hmm. Iowa Ortho, but had already been doing a little outreach out in Newton and now kind of getting up into the North territories as well. So it's been nice.
Well, we certainly appreciate having your services available here in Webster City. Let's go ahead and start, if you would, by just sharing with listeners a little bit about yourself, your education, and your background.
Sure. So I'm from Chicago area, the Northwest suburbs originally. And then I did my undergrad at Duke University in North Carolina. And weirdly enough, I was a physics major, which I don't use at all nowadays. But, I kind of gravitated towards medicine during undergrad as well. And then ended up going to med school at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia. And then from there, kind of fell in love with the idea of doing orthopedics. So that's when I decided to go to orthopedic residency. That was orthopedic surgery residency was in Chicago area at Northwestern. And then from there, I had to do a fellowship to focus on spine. So then I ended up in Boston at the Harvard combined program between Mass General and Brigham and Women's for a year to focus on spine surgery specifically. And then while I was in Chicago, that's when I met my wife, who's from Des Moines, and that's kind of what brought me back in this direction. So she's born and raised in Des Moines area. So we were kind of between the two cities and ultimately decided to start a family out this way.
And settle in Des Moines. Well, that's fantastic. Yep. And I knew from your background, you had been in several different states between your education and your residency and your fellowship, and kind of wondered, you know, what brought you back to the Midwest. So
yeah, I feel like I definitely have a, I like the Midwest the most of all the places I've lived. And then certainly, obviously, having my wife kind of wanting to pull me back this way was, a nice draw as well, keeping her family close by too.
Yes, for sure. And you're not too far from Chicago either.
No, yeah, so. We visit frequently. So
very good. So what led you to pursue spine in particular?
Sure. So I think, going into orthopedics, I think anybody who's an orthopedic surgeon, I feel like we can say like we have a pretty profound impact on people just mm-hmm. with our surgeries. You know, you go even in like the simplest sense, like we have a lot of trauma patients, you have a broken bone, we fix it, someone's up and walking again. I think within these, orthopedic subspecialties, I kind of gravitated towards spine because I just like how complicated it is, but mm-hmm. and I like how you have the kind of the biggest turnaround. You have someone who's unfortunately often quite miserable with their condition. And if you pick the right surgery, and fix the problem, they can really have a big turnaround in their condition from pretty miserable to, you know, very happy again. So I also like that it's got a lot of challenges with it. It's not an easy specialty by any means, which I think keeps me kind of coming back. And there's always improvements that with technology and, you know, with our knowledge base as we learn more about it, I think it's something that's more fulfilling for an entire career. Plus, I think we get some of the coolest technology in terms of what we get to use in the OR. I think there's a lot of cutting edge technology always coming out every year. There's new advances, which I think is exciting for a career.
Extremely. And you do have such a huge impact on patients' lives. And in particular, you know, with orthopedics, there and healthcare too, but in orthopedics, so many advancements. And I do want to take some time in the program to talk about kind of what you've seen over your career. But I just think it's amazing the work that you do and in working with the spine. And I know there are so many people that suffer, have trouble with back injury, back pain. And so we want to make sure we talk about some of those services that you do offer. Before we do, I want to maybe even have you expand a little bit on your advanced training that you've done. And you've accomplished a lot of research and writing and been published in journals. Maybe talk a little bit more about that too.
Yeah, it was something I was pretty passionate about before. Just I feel like that's what makes this career more exciting, is that it's always changing and advancing the technology. And I think when you're in residency and in fellowship, you have a really good opportunity. You're working with the people that are constantly publishing, so it's really easy to get involved in those projects and then sort of, you know, put, you know, sort of make your mark in mm-hmm. a sense, and sort of push things forward a little bit and just kind of advance the knowledge, even if it's just a small amount. You know, I did a lot of research, I feel like, during my time during that, just because it was something I found a lot of interest in. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, I think it's tough in the private practice world now to really add much more to it. But certainly it's something I like to read kind of my peers and the people I trained under, you know, what they're working on now. So, but it's definitely been interesting to kind of have a little bit that I was able to contribute to that in the grand scheme of how much advancement we have every year.
For sure. Kudos to you.
Thank you.
Yes. So you specialize in the treatment of disorders of the cervical, thoracic, and lumbar spine. What does that look like? What services, procedures do you perform?
Sure. I feel like I kind of do the gamut of, mm-hmm. you know, what's available for the most part. I focus on adult spine, so I don't do as much pediatrics as some, but the most common thing I'll see in my clinic is degenerative in nature, so just kind of arthritic conditions essentially. So that can be wear and tear on a disc. It could be bone spurs pinching into a nerve. So that sort of thing you can see in the neck or in the low back, or, you know. So the surgeries we do boil down to, typically you could kind of boil down to, in the simplest sense, we're decompressing pinched nerves is the most common thing. And sometimes there's instability or a curvature, like a scoliosis, where we have to provide stability back. And that's where oftentimes we're talking about fusions. There are some sort of more niche procedures that I also do, like where you get to kind of maintain motion. So disc replacements and, you know, laminoplasties, things of that nature, where you essentially keep your motion, but, you know, there is some hardware involved to kind of restore the anatomy and the function that people have lost.
Very good. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I wanted to ask you if there were any, like, kind of special, procedures that you do offer, or something that's maybe unique to your practice even.
Sure. Yeah, I think the push we're trying to, I feel like every surgeon should be kind of pushing more towards motion sparing surgeries, like the disc replacements. They have pretty good track record now with most of them. I focus on the cervical for the disc replacements, but since I think that has an even better track record. But yeah, I think that's something that we all should be sort of trying to do, is restore normal function rather than, you know, doing a fusion. If we can get away from it and doing something that keeps motion, that's better for patients. Now, you have to be pretty selective. Not everyone's a candidate mm-hmm. for that. So, I mean, I certainly still do my share of fusions, because not everyone's a candidate for the disc replacements and things of that nature. But certainly, you know, it's just something I think is nice that we have more technology kind of coming our way every year that seems to be pushing things in a good direction.
Mm-hmm. Maybe now's a good time. what is like some of the technology you just shared some there, but some of the advancements that you've seen in your career since you started, especially in specifically with spine work that you've done?
Yeah, I think there's the hot topics lately. I think there's more and more push with kind of like robotics, I feel like, is something I keep seeing. And then endoscopic versions of these surgeries. So during my training, I'd seen some of the, like, what they call microendoscopic discectomies and things. And I think they're still pushing that boundary, trying to find other means to do that. It's still not quite the mainstream right now, but maybe, you know, who knows what the next decade will bring. But I think robotics is certainly taking off in some systems. You know, so I have not yet adopted that completely. I've seen, or I've heard at least some cautionary tales, I'll say. So I haven't quite adopted that. I don't want to be the first to pick up a new technology. So, but maybe the next decade will change my tune on that. Who knows? So, but those I feel like are the two kind of things that have been frequently getting brought up at meetings and things of that nature.
Great. Gosh, thank you for sharing. I know you did mention some of the kind of the spine conditions that you treat, some of them being, or quite a few of them, degenerative in nature, arthritis. What are some of the other, like, more common spine issues that you see, that you treat?
Yeah, so I think, within the degenerative realm, the most common things would be either a disc issue or stenosis. So stenosis really just means narrowing. It can, and where the narrowing in is really determines what symptoms people have. So if they have narrowing up in their neck and it's pushing on an individual nerve, they're going to have, like a radiating pain down their arm. But if it's, narrowed on the cord itself up in their neck, they could have any number of symptoms. It could be balance issues, dexterity issues. Same idea in the low back. If it's, stenosis and narrowing on one nerve, they'll get shooting pain down the leg. But if it's stenosis centrally pushing on all the nerves, they may start having, more trouble just walking, standing, trouble standing to do the dishes for a long time. Those sorts of complaints are pretty common. And we can, usually if we see on an MRI something that correlates with those symptoms, then we have a pretty clear target of, okay, hey, we can clean that up and make that part of your life a lot better for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say stenosis is certainly the most common complaint, aside from, just disc pathology that we'll see, in my clinic at least. Once, the more complicated things we'll deal with are when we have, scoliosis or other instability conditions that we have to address as well.
Mm-hmm. I just know so many people struggle with back pain. I think probably for a lot of people, they don't even know what they have. They maybe just deal with the pain for so long. What would you say? When is it appropriate for a patient to come see someone like you?
Sure. Yeah, I think, you're never wrong to get a consult and get some thoughts on it. I think there are some simple things that people can do mm-hmm. before they come in. Talk to your primary care doctor, even just simple things like getting into physical therapy honestly goes a long way for the majority of people. It's when therapy doesn't work. That's when I think it's really time to see this specialist. And we usually can get you an MRI and take a look inside and see really how bad things are. If there's something that we can intervene on. I think the counterintuitive thing that I have to talk to a lot of patients about is that back pain is usually not the first line treatment is not surgery. And it's counterintuitive because, people think, oh yeah, I'll get surgery and all my back pain will go away.
You're taken care of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, weirdly, most of the surgeries I'm talking to people about are more for like nerve phenomenon, right? So a pinched nerve, that's shooting down your leg, those actually are way better candidates for surgery than someone who just has back pain and lots of arthritis. That's tough. That's a tough target because we can't really figure out exactly where that's coming from always. So that's where working with a pain doctor is actually a better option to start with. Like you get your physical therapy, and if that's not enough, then you try injections. And hopefully by some series of injections, they can pinpoint more clearly for me, where is it coming from? If we ever get a clear target, sure, then surgery makes more sense. But if someone has back pain and just kind of a diffuse problem throughout their back, the last thing you want is to add mm-hmm. surgery to the mix.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of exhausting those other treatments first to see if maybe a person does get some relief and helps take care of their issue again before going to surgery is.
Yeah, definitely. Treatment method. Yeah, I try to, I mean, unless if someone's showing neurologic weakness, progressive weakness, then I try to make surgery your last resort if possible. I mean, certainly there are a few conditions where we know which direction it's going to be headed in, and yeah, we can intervene earlier, but why have surgery earlier if you can avoid it? You know, some people, you'd be surprised how bad some of the MRIs can look that really respond well to therapy and some injections. So I always try to get away with that if we can. So
excellent. And as people know, we have therapy services here at the hospital. We have pain management services here. And as you've shared, I'm sure you work very closely with Sean and Rich here at the hospital.
Yeah.
In providing those services, because it is really kind of looking at the whole picture and what the best way to treat a patient and their condition. And imaging definitely is a part of that too.
Absolutely. Yeah, nice. I send a lot of people towards the interventional pain path just because surgery is too risky or unreliable for what they have. It sort of depends case by case what we find on the MRI.
Mm-hmm. Now, can a patient schedule an appointment, or is a referral needed
I'm open to anything. Yeah, if they call and make a direct appointment, that's fine. Obviously, I mean, it's always helpful if they've tried a little treatment first, mm-hmm. so that we don't have to start at the very basics. But I'm happy to give an opinion on anything. Certainly, if you've done your physical therapy and have an MRI in hand, then I can give you a lot more information. On day one when you meet me, but happy to see someone and get them started on that path too.
Great information to share. I know you touched upon that your practice is mainly adults. Demographics for your practice, do you kind of see, is there an age range?
It is all over the place.
Okay.
Disc herniations tend to be 20s and 30s and maybe 40s, but then seems to be more like the arthritic kind of conditions, 50s, 60s, 70s. Done surgery on people in their 80s and 90s too if they really needed it too. So, I mean, it's certainly, it is all across the board. So happy to see anyone.
Very good. What's important for patients to know about you and how you practice?
I'd like to think of myself as pretty conservative of a surgeon. Certainly there are some conditions where, yeah, we know surgery is your best option and I'll recommend it. But like I said, I try to have everyone have a chance at therapy and injections first if I think there's a reasonable chance it's going to work for them. I obviously don't want to delay something that's inevitable. If I know they're going to need surgery, then sure, we'll chat about it. But if we can try therapy and it works, then that's terrific. You've avoided the knife. So
great, for sure. Any general recommendations you would have for listeners regarding back health, taking care of their backs?
Sure. I think the most important things, and these are all unfortunately easier said than done, but keeping a healthy weight goes a long way. Keeping your core strong. So doing, yoga therapy type exercises where you're focusing on your core. So even just holding like a plank position, a push-up position, basically those sorts of things actually go a long way to kind of building up your core muscles. And there's not a lot of bending involved with that. So those are simple things that people can start with. You can probably find some exercises on the internet too that can be helpful, but if you do those two things, that honestly goes a long way for a lot of like simple back pain, right? Certainly there are more complicated things that might not cut it and you might need the help of a professional, but that's at least a starting point to try. I also think a lot of people's inclination is, hey, I'm having a flare of back pain, I'm going to lay in bed. That's been proven to not be the right answer. You should actually try and just get into a walking program, try and get out of bed and be mobile, right? If you lay in bed, you're going to get stiff and more painful.
Great information to share. Thank you so much. Anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners today?
I'm happy to see anybody out here. I think I'm excited to be out in Webster City. So it's been a good opportunity. I'm happy to kind of be seeing a different part of the metro and getting a better understanding of what different areas of Iowa are like. So it's been nice to be up here.
Well, it's been great having you. So very thrilled to have Dr. Rosenthal here. He sees patients the second and fourth Wednesdays of each month here in Webster City. And as you heard, you can schedule an appointment, or if you have questions, you can call our specialty clinic department at 515-832-7746. So Dr. Rosenthal, when you're not seeing patients, what do you like to do in your free time?
I spend a lot of time with family. I got a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, so that fills most of my time. I've been recently addicted to golf, though, so that's also filled up the rest of my time. So yes. I'm not very good yet, but I'm trying to learn. So that's been fun, though.
Well, sounds great. Again, thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes. Thrilled to have orthopedic spine specialty services offered by Dr. Brett Rosenthal with Iowa Ortho here at Van Deest Medical Center. That will do it for today's edition of Focus on Health, brought to you by Van Deest Medical Center, where our focus is you.